In the Gospel of Matthew, we continue to hear the author of the Gospel of Matthew to push forward his theological theme of Jesus as the new Moses. He's writing this particular Gospel to a Jewish Christian community, and so he's saying to them, look, Jesus is the new Moses. And as in the book of Leviticus, which we heard today, a reading from the book of Leviticus, where Leviticus is where the holiness code is kept. And we hear a bit of the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love him with your whole heart and your whole mind and your whole soul. That's the direction of our holiness, right? Moving more and more gradually to that ability to love God with all our hearts and all our minds and all our souls. Today, what you and I do as a community of faith, we acknowledge that that is always our goal and our direction, and we give witness to Taylor Francis that what we are doing here today is somehow important in all of the moments of our life. When we hear this from the Gospel of Matthew, we hear Jesus giving us a bit of a new commandment or reframing the commandments from Leviticus and from Mount Sinai. He's saying that you got to go just beyond the minimum, right? And so that in an honor-shame society, to be slapped in the face was an awful insult. It was an awful insult. It meant that you were thought so very little of. And if you were slapped with the left hand was reserved for bodily functions. Only the right hand was that which you could put into the common eating dish, right? And so it would be an awful, awful insult. And Jesus is saying not only to get slapped in one side, turn the other cheek. What a message is that, right? What message is that? Roman soldiers could force citizens to carry their equipment for a mile. They were allowed to do that. And so in many cases, some young men from the Hebrews would join the Roman soldiers and they would press their neighbors into carrying their equipment for a mile. Jesus says, if that happens, go 2 miles, right? And if someone needs your cloak, give them your tunic as well. A tunic was what people used as protection in the evening, sometimes as a tent, so that they wouldn't die from the cold. So Jesus is asking of us a very, very radical message, right? He's asking from us that if we say yes to following in his footsteps, then it may require more than we think, right? And so each of you know that, right? Each of you know that sometimes at the beginning of your spiritual journey, even though our parents and our godparents may have said yes for us, there was a moment in our lives when we had to say yes. There was a moment in our life that when we had to say yes to something that God was asking us to do that maybe cost us a great deal, right? And so in many, many ways, what we're coming here to do today in the person of Taylor Francis and in the sacrament of baptism is to renew our own yes, to renew again our commitment to this faith that sometimes asks us to think outside of the box, right? Today, yesterday, we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Vatican Council II. What a tremendous moment that was in the life of the church. Many of you are too young to remember, but prior to that time, we had Mass in Latin, and we faced away from the people, and you never got to see the priest, and everything was so rigid behind the altar. In the old Latin Mass, there was 150 ways that a priest could commit a mortal sin. If we didn't hold our hands correctly, if we didn't, right? What a freedom that was, right? So, right? You hate to think that you're going to hell because you're saying Mass, right? And what a contradiction that was. So we celebrated this wonderful movement of the Holy Spirit. And so because of that particular movement, we have this liturgy of baptism in which you can understand everything I'm saying, in which each of you can give your assent and give your presence to this wonderful child here, right? And so as we pray today for all of us, let's remember and give thanks for that wonderful moment in the life of the church that really opened up the Spirit to us in many, many ways. Some segments of the church are trying to return us to Latin, and trying to return us to a time when the priest faced away from us, and trying to return us to a time that maybe seems more magical than mystical, right? And so what I want to do is pray that the church might lead us more in the ways of the mysteries of the sacrament, maybe lead us closer in our own path towards God, right? And God always speaks to us in a language that we can understand. When I was saying the opening prayer, Taylor Francis looked up and smiled at me. That's how God speaks to us, right? Always in a language that we can understand. So today, as we remember our own baptism, as we affirm our baptismal promises again, as we say as a community, yes for Taylor Francis, right? We need to remember our own yes. Sometimes we're the only scripture that anyone will ever read. We have a tremendous responsibility from this moment forward to give good example to Taylor Francis, right? Taylor Francis, right? To be a good example. And we have a responsibility to pray for him and his family, to uphold him in the faith which they're going to profess here. It's good for us to remember that as Taylor Francis is baptized here in this community, each and every one of us was baptized by someone who was baptized by someone who was baptized by someone who was baptized by John in the Jordan. That our baptism, this universal sacrament accepted by all Christians, is that sacrament which unifies us all. And that we see in this sacrament our unity, the unity that Christ prayed for us before he was given up on the cross. So let's continue then, shall we? And we'll welcome Taylor Francis into the family of the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.